In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today, with these readings, it's very clear that in thousands of churches across the country, thousands of churches across the world, are going to talk about the transfiguration of Christ. Millions upon millions of minds are going to be turned to the contemplation of who exactly God is. This is the normal pattern in the church. We come to this particular Sunday and the priest talks about the transfiguration of Christ. Well, by now, you should know that you've got a slightly off-kilter priest. So, as I was looking at these readings, I found it to be rather interesting. I started looking at it, and things were actually coming out to me. I thought back to what it is to be an apprentice. Most people don't think about apprenticeship in this day and age. You go to someone that you want to learn a skill or a trade from, and you become their apprentice. And after a while of working with that person, you would become an artisan. And after a while of being an artisan, you became a master, someone that other people sought out to be trained. And I was looking at the readings, and there's a lot of that that's going on here. Is today about the transfiguration of Christ? Yeah, but so is every other. So I thought back to my schooling, and you know, you go through undergrad, and you've got to get a bachelor's degree to continue on to seminary, which gives you a master's degree, and then you enter into ministry, and nobody cares about your bachelor's degree or your master's degree or the fact that you've spent this time studying. It's really not that important. Now, not every faith community requires that type of study. But that was the unique and formative thing about seminary. Was we weren't just students there. We were learning at the feet of masters. That's part of how the process is set up to even become a priest. You become an aspirant, somebody who's interested in becoming ordained. And you get through the next stage, and after some tweaking and teaching and everything else, you become a postulant. Then you become an ordinand. And you're ordained either a deacon, or if you continue on, you're ordained a priest. If you are insane enough to go further than that, you can eventually become a bishop. If you go further than that and people like you enough, you can become presiding bishop. So there's this process. But I realized the best things in my life, the most interesting things in my life, have always happened within that process of apprenticeship. I'll give you another example. When I was in the steel mill as an electrician, I had a probationary period where everybody taught me all of their little tricks and instances in the mill that they knew of, things to cut down your time. Things that were specific to the trade. And after a couple of years, we actually got another guy into the shop who came down to, I was on the sheet end at the time, electrician for the sheet end, sheet temper mill and the combo line. He comes down to me and he says, I want you to show me everything you know about the combo line and the sheet temper mill. So I took him into the basement. I said, okay, the combo line has a little giddy-up. And you will get this specific code. And when you get this specific code, just come down to this board here go to this contactor right here. Look in the back. Do you see the little pieces of cardboard and paper? Yeah. Well, if you get that code, take a little piece of cardboard and stick it underneath the back tab of that contactor, and you'll be fine. To which his response was, I don't want to know your crook tricks. You got nothing to teach me. And he storms out. And I tracked him down. I said, you know, what you call a crook trick was something that nobody showed me. And in 4.5 hours of searching for a new contactor to put in, I kept the line down for 4.5 hours. They don't make that contactor anymore. We can't get the parts for that contactor anymore, but that contactor is all that we have. If you want the line to run, stick a piece of cardboard in the back tab of that contactor. It's not a crook trick. It's how you keep the line running. But you don't know that if you've never done it. I just saved you 4.5 hours of searching like I did. Why do I bring this up? Look at the last part of the readings of the gospel. When Christ came back down from the mountain, Christ knew who Christ was. Honestly, the three apostles that were with him, you know, when they saw that, you've got to think their first thought was, oh, crap. You know, that was an eye-opening experience for them. But it should be an eye-opening experience for us when we read the last part of that gospel and understand that the people that were following Christ wanted to do what he did. The reason that they were following Christ is because they wanted to be like him. They were apprentices that became artisans, and after the crucifixion and resurrection became masters. To me, that last reading highlights that fact more than anything. We live in a society, we live in a world that seems to think that if you don't have a degree in something, you have no knowledge of it. I knew a guy in college in metalsmithing. When I took metalsmithing classes, he was a blacksmith. He taught us how to forge knives the old way, using a hearth and an anvil. How many people here know how to blacksmith anything? There's not a class that you're going to take to find that. You have to go find a master. The fascinating thing was, he was actually taught by a guy who not only didn't have a degree, he couldn't even write. The funny thing is, the guy that couldn't write used to trade his work to people for all different things. And long ago, there used to be a bordello. Distasteful word, maybe. But this blacksmith who couldn't write forged from single pieces of metal roses complete with petals that on the other end were a poker. Of such exquisite beauty that you would swear when you saw it that it was an actual rose dipped into iron. All the fine detail there. Made banisters for safety of such exquisite beauty, they cannot be found today. Practical things that he put his flourish on that made them incredible. Astounding. And these were examples of his work. Very few blacksmiths remain. But when you need one, that's who you go to. Farriers remain. Still rare. But when you need one, that's who you go to. If you want to learn, that's who you go to. If you need something done, you seek out the master. If you want to learn, you seek out the master. If you want to be like Christ, seek out the master. Have you ever wondered why we use the terms master and servant so often? Why you see the term master or teacher in Scripture so frequently? It's not a coincidence. You show me a master, and I will show you someone who can produce things that you can scarcely dream of. You show me a master, and I will show you someone who binds the wounds of the wounded, heals the sick, restores the infirm, gives good counsel. But above all, can teach you what it is to be a master. So important is this fact that when it was not clear to the three apostles, God himself intervened through cloud and a voice. This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. The very next day, you've got to think those apostles, upon hearing the man with a demon-possessed child, went, "Oh, crap." And let's be clear. It's not the fault of the apostles. All this time that they've been laboring with Christ, they didn't understand that they were apprentices. They do not know what Christ knew. I think one of the key statements in that final bit is the man who says, "I went to your disciples and asked them to do it, but they couldn't." I asked them to do it, but they couldn't. Do you know what the implication is there? Spit it out, Doug.
They're not the master.
Well, yes, they're not the master.
They haven't come to that level.
But they tried. Yeah, they tried. That was, I'm sure, an eye-opening experience for them. And that leads to later conversations with Christ. "I'm with you only a little longer. Heed my words. Learn from me. You can do this." What happens when a master is finished teaching another master? Let me make it very clear, since we're coming up on Lent, and I want you to think about this during Lent. Throughout the process, Christ talks about the apostles, the disciples, in the manner of servants. By the time we reach the Last Supper, he says something very different. "I do not call you disciples. I call you friends. When a master is done teaching, what does he call his student? Friend. They're compatriots, they're partners in arms. They are people that can lean upon one another. In other words, Christ is saying, I have brought you through the ranks from apprenticeship to artisan to master. Go and do as I have done. Strange what you think about at 4 o'clock in the morning.